It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Happy Friday, everybody. You are listening to The Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rance, filling in. Thank you so much for tuning in this Friday afternoon. Hope everyone is getting excited for their weekend. I am finally getting excited for the fact that you guys are actually starting to speak up, because you've been seeing what the city of Seattle has become. And yes, I'm going to talk about a Seattle story. And usually, especially when I do my show over on the other side, I'll get texts or tweets saying, thank God I do not live in Seattle, that I escaped Seattle and all of the progressive lunacy that goes on there. And I have to warn you guys, what happens in Seattle does not stay in Seattle. What happens in Seattle, whether we're talking about a head tax or how they choose to deal with the homelessness crisis, it does not stay in Seattle. What happens here ends up spreading to Spanaway and Bellevue and Everett and Shoreline and Kent. This spreads everywhere. And when we're talking about how we deal with the homelessness crisis, I think it's incredibly important in the back of your mind to understand that what happens here will come to you. And something that happens in Seattle, we got at least momentarily to stop. Because I got a whole bunch of you to call and email Seattle Human Services Department about a secret tiny village encampment that was going to go up in South Lake Union. You got them to get the city to backpedal, at least temporarily. Because you see, for days, I was trying to get an answer about whether or not a low barrier, tiny village would be installed in South Lake Union, a block from thousands of apartments, a block from dozens of businesses, restaurants, coffee shops, a Marriott hotel, a block away from Lake Union and the park, allowing for a low barrier household or a series of tiny homes, 40 to 50 in total. Low barrier, you know what that means, producer Nicole? Do you?
I do.
Yeah. It means they can bring drugs and alcohol into their homes. The city of Seattle sent out a flyer to 25 individuals, 25, in the South Lake Union neighborhood. And in this flyer, it said, we are going to install this tiny village at this one particular spot in the summer. Come join us on May 31st for a meeting when we discuss it. Now, some of us in the media, some of us in the neighborhood, because I live in that neighborhood, got a hold of this flyer, started to get passed around by people who are a little bit upset. And so I reached out to the city of Seattle. I reached out to the Seattle Human Services Department. I reached out to the Department of Neighborhoods, trying to find out, this is happening? Could you tell us why you're choosing this particular location? And can you confirm that we've got this meeting on May 31st? Because I'd like to show up. I'd like to bring people with me so we can actually speak out and say, this is the wrong spot for a low barrier encampment. This is the wrong spot. Just a set up shop without actually talking to us. You know what they did, Nicole? Nothing. Didn't respond at all. Then I find out Cairo 7's Lindsay Sheldon, awesome reporter there, was also getting blown off. They weren't responding. All I asked was, can you confirm the May 31st meeting? Because I'd like to go. I did something bad. You're going to judge me.
I always do.
I know, but I did something bad. I kind of abused my power as a talk show host. Because I realized if they weren't going to talk to me, I was wondering if they would talk to my audience, the people who read my blog at mynorthwest.com or listen to my show every morning. I gave out their office number and their email address. And I did that two mornings ago at 7 a.m. And I asked everyone to just ask on my behalf, because they're not listening to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Because you know what I've heard for a very long time? People complaining about what's happening in Seattle. People complaining about the out-of-control homelessness issue. They're saying, you're making bad policy. You are making bad choices. But here's the thing. That's all you do. A lot of you send out a tweet, an angry tweet, which I agree with, and sometimes I'll retweet. Sometimes you'll send me an angry text or an angry email. You make a comment on my blog or Dory's blog at mynorthwest.com. But then that's it. You don't do anything beyond that. You don't even email directly the people who you're upset about. You just tell the world, I am upset. I'm sick and tired of what's happening in Seattle. And then you sit back and you do nothing. And so I asked you part one, I want you to do something. I want you to reach out to this person. Within an hour, we got our answers. Within an hour, the city of Seattle has backtracked and said, whoa. We got ahead of ourselves. We didn't mean to. We're going to have this meeting. I can confirm it. It's going to be on May 31st from 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. We're going to have that meeting. You can show up and you can give us your opinions, but we have not specifically said we're going to have this tiny house encampment there. So that's part one of a win, right? That's a win for the audience. Here's part two. Because you see, this is what they do. They'll do the bare minimum. They'll say they have a meeting. They'll hand out the flyer to 25 people and none of you will actually show up. But the people who will show up are the 25 people that they hand delivered these flyers to or made that phone call to. All these people who are already in favor of moving this tiny house encampment to the area. And they're the only ones who show up. And then they say, you know what? We support this. Go ahead and do it, city department of neighborhoods. Go for it. And then they go for it. Then they build this tiny house encampment, much similar to the one that's happening that's in Ballard, where the rapist lived. And then people get upset. People like me who live in the neighborhood, business people get upset. People who go by to work in that neighborhood get upset. And then you know what the city says when you're angry? Why didn't you show up to the meeting? We had the meeting. It was on May 31st. Didn't you hear? The only people who showed up were the ones who said that they didn't have a problem. So we went ahead and moved forward with it. So here's my ask. I want you to join me at this meeting on May 31st. I want you to stop complaining on Twitter. I want you to stop complaining via email and on Facebook and on Instagram, whatever it is you do. I want you to stop complaining there. And I want you to actually show up to this meeting. So what we have done is made it really easy to show up to this meeting. I've promised, I don't know if you've noticed this because we posted the blog. What's the website, the blog? What's the Facebook page for Dory?
Facebook.com/Dory Monson Show.
Okay, Dory Monson Show. Go there now. We've posted the information in my blog about where this meeting is. I want you to show up. I promise to bring donuts. I'm making it an event for my show and my station, but I want Dory audience members to show up.
I would expect healthier from you.
No, yeah, donuts. I'm going top pot. I'm spending some money because there are a lot of people who are upset about this, like Kit Bender, who lives in South Lake Union, talking to Cairo 7.
If I'm walking by and I feel like there's a whole other situation going on here. I don't know how well it'd sit, honestly, because it is so close to businesses and so many apartments.
This is not a smart move. This is a move that leads to instances like in Ballard, where a poor woman was raped by a homeless person living in a tiny house village who had a warrant out for his arrest, but they didn't actually check. Only this one, they're allowing you to bring drugs and alcohol on site. Right in the middle of a neighborhood like South Lake Union, kind of like a big screw you to Amazon that they would even consider this particular spot, which is not near a lot of resources for these homeless folks. And let's stop pretending that setting up a tiny home actually gets people off the street. I used to be in favor of the tiny homes until I realized something. They haven't really told us any success stories, have they? They haven't told us, you know what, of the people who show up and go into a tiny home, 17% end up getting into an actual house, getting on the right path. They don't give those statistics out because they don't exist. And so now, instead of complaining online, I want you to actually show up to the meeting. So go ahead and go to facebook.com/Dory Monson Show, click on the blog, and then get all of the information and make sure you say hi and grab a donut before it's too late. Meanwhile, yesterday, I know Dory talked a little bit about this. A lot of folks in the media were going after President Trump because he called, according to the media, all immigrants basically animals. And all they did was play this one clip just to make their point.
We have people coming into the country or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
CNN, NPR, The Hill, MSNBC, NBC, ABC all portrayed those comments as if President Trump was talking about just your everyday immigrant who's trying to come into the country to better their lives and their families' lives. He was talking, though, very specifically about MS-13 gang members. And now you've got two weird reactions. Number one, you've got kind of a tepid walking back of the claim that he said this. He just updated the stories over at the Huffington Post and CNN to give some more context. But then you've got a group of people who hate Donald Trump so much, who loathe him so much, that they're actually starting to defend MS-13. You've got folks like Nancy Pelosi out there. This is how she's talking about MS-13 gang members.
We believe, some of us who are attracted to the political arena, to government and public service, that we're all God's children.
She's found God.
There's a spark of divinity in every person on earth, and that we all have to recognize that as we respect the dignity and worth of every person.
I don't respect the dignity and worth of every person. I don't. I don't respect the dignity and worth of MS-13 gang members because they decapitate people. They murder people with machetes. They cut out hearts of people while they're still alive. I don't offer them dignity, nor do I offer them respect. There are some people who are actually animals. Now, I know that we are now in the business of word policing, and there is a fringe group on the left that want to change the language because we all have to pretend that we value people equally. But I'm not buying into that. I mean, it takes a special kind of hatred for the president to morph into this person who doesn't want to call an animal an animal. Here's Anna Navarro on CNN, the one who pretends to be a Republican.
I am saying that the president of the United States has got to measure his words and be more careful about what he says. And it is a very slippery slope when you start dehumanizing people this way. It's what the Nazis did. It's what slave owners did. It's not what Americans do.
By that logic, then, she is a Nazi, a slave owner, and she's un-American. Because I'm looking at a tweet right now from October 9th, 2016. It was sent at 5:20 p.m. Her tweet says, should Donald Trump drop out of the race? Yes, he should drop out of the human race. He is an animal. Did she just dehumanize people by calling Donald Trump an animal? No, she's using a slang term to go after people in a way that she's believes doesn't act with dignity. Have some of these folks got to the point where they hate Trump so much that they're willing to throw away any type of morality judgment? Are we now in that position? If so, okay, at least you'll be consistent. But that's the thing. You have to be consistent. You have to be consistent because I'm sick to death of this kind of ridiculous coverage. You know, the media will shout out, why does Trump come after the media? It is dangerous for him to do that. Well, because you lie. Now, maybe you're lying because you have nefarious intent. Maybe you're lying because you're too lazy to do any of the research that you should be doing before going to air with this sort of stuff. But the context was incredibly clear of what it was he was saying. In fact, I know we're CBS. I know lots of folks like Steve Portnoy. But listen to the question he asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
What did the president mean when he said some immigrants are not people, they're animals?
He didn't say some immigrants. He was talking about MS-13 immigrants. Why would you ask that question? The context is very clear. It's crystal clear. So let us stop just for a moment pretending that it's not. People are crazy. And sometimes it's on politics. Sometimes it's about the environment. We've all met, certainly here in the Pacific Northwest, some of the crazy eco people. Can I introduce you to some in Redmond? Because they're fighting to save more than a dozen trees from being cut down by the city. Even though these trees are dangerous. How do I know they're dangerous? Because they're falling on people. They severely injured a woman. A tree fell on her. It's a cottonwood tree. Happened last summer. Severely injuring this woman. So the city went out and said, okay. They got an arborist to look at all the trees in this particular area. Like, yeah, we got to cut down 30 of them because these are too old. And they are posing an actual danger to people. Maxine Wadham, the city parks director, says these trees, they gotta go.
We have to put public safety first, and that's our primary focus for how we have park users enjoy our parks.
Nicole, you know who's getting upset? Tree nerds. A bunch of tree nerds are upset. One of those tree nerds is Bud. Have you ever listened to a Bud speak? There's always something. And it's like, your priorities are a little. I've never met like a well. Oh, don't give me that look. Okay, fine. I won't say what I was about to say, but here's Bud.
The eagles are the main attraction. There's just something magnificent about seeing our national bird fly around.
It's just majestic to see the eagle. And so the eagles then fly on the cottonwoods. Oh, is it? Well, is it more majestic to see an eagle than any other pigeon?
Yes.
Why?
It's just a bird.
Whatever.
They use the trees down by the lake as a foraging perch.
So then they take whatever they get, the fish, I guess, and then they eat it in the tree. Except the trees are dangerous. Now, here's the thing. If we – there's two things we can do, right? We can close the area off to the public knowing that this tree might fall down, right? That there's the potential for danger. But if you close this area to the public, then you've got Bud coming out and saying, oh, we got to have access to the majestic trees and all the eagles out there. You have to get – this is nature. It's meant to be enjoyed. There's no winning. So what are you supposed to do? And by the way, the city, kudos to them, they're going to plant twice as many trees in the area as they're cutting down. So at least they're giving back. It's not like it's just a wash. We're just taking away trees. They're giving more. Well, how are you supposed to placate people like this? They're suing in court to stop the tree cutting. They're going to lose, of course, but they're just wasting everybody's time. This is, it's annoying. And then at the same time, you give me this, Jason, you got to do the story. There's a survey out. 25% of Americans apparently don't go outside enough. They stay indoors. They don't, in a typical week, they don't go outside basically at all except during their commute. And inexplicably, this report, I don't know if you saw this, it was pushed by a window manufacturing company. I don't know why. We're increasingly turning into a generation of indoor people where the only time we get daylight and fresh air midweek is on the commute to work or school. That, according to Peter Foldberg, the head of Daylight Energy and Indoor Climate
at
Velux.
What's his last name
again? Foldberg.
Okay.
Well, because I think he's Swedish. So they're citing the Bureau of Labor Statistics. A nine-hour workday is the average for American wage earners. When they return home on a typical day, 85% of women, 67% of men spend time doing work around the house indoors. So they're not actually going out. Can I ask one question and then we'll take a break? Why is it so important to go outside if you don't want to? Because I've seen the stories, the Seattle Times has a piece every 6 months about, is Instagram ruining the outdoors? Because millennials are going out and taking photos and people are like, this is too crowded. Well, we've got people staying indoors and you're mad too. What are we supposed to do?
I think maybe it's to encourage people to get outside and exercise or enjoy things more than
go to the gym
home and get your stuff done.
Oh, go to the gym. Stay indoors. You don't get outside. Get dirty. You start to sweat. It's gross. I'm Jason Rance, filling in for the Dory Monson Show. You're listening to the Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rance, and I am filling in. My next guest story is a bit too insane to be true. Greg Winters was driving through Arlington. He ends up hitting a deer. It flies through the sky. It lands in his back seat of the car alive and starts kicking him in the head. I suspect something more sinister is at play here. So we invited him on the show. You hear him laughing in the background to explain what happened. We will see if I can catch him in a lie. Greg joins me now. Greg, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So what happened? Take us through that night.
Okay. It was about 9 o'clock. I was driving from Arlington out to Darrington. I just passed, I was past Oso, past the slide. And I was just going 50, 55, and I went around the corner, and basically from a tree line, there was nothing in front of me, and then all of a sudden, big deer. Like, normally we see them grazing on the side of the road or whatever, but nothing like that. Just jumped right out of the wood line, and I hit it, like, probably 50, maybe 50. I was slamming on the brakes. I hit it, like, maybe 50 miles an hour, airbags deployed, front crunched all up. And the deer went flying, like, straight up in the air. And I thought, okay, which is, you know, I didn't want it to, like, come in through the front window or roll up the hood or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, great. It's going to land, you know, somewhere else. So I'm still skidding, right? And all of a sudden, the back window smashes, and I hear it smash. And I think, oh, well, that's maybe just the impact because it was quite, you know, quite, you know, intense. And so I'm still trying to pull over to the side of the road, and I look over to the I've got bucket seats. It's a Honda Civic, and I look over, and I see a hoof, like, sticking through the seat. And I'm like, okay. And so I turn around, and the deer's head was on the passenger side of the back seat, you know, kind of folded because it was too big for the back seat, and looking right at me, just totally freaked out. And I was I look back and there's a deer staring at me, and I went ahead and I tried to pull off the road, and it started kicking and thrashing to get out of the car. And it started kicking. It was kicking me in the back of the head. And so I pulled off the side of the road, and I got out, and I didn't know you know, I couldn't really let it out. It didn't fit. Like if I just opened the door and like, it's a two door. So I couldn't really let it out. And so I just sort of stopped and called the police and
they showed up. They ended up taking photos of what happened.
Well, no, the deer died before they got there.
Yeah.
I did take some pictures because I, you know, just for insurance, it was getting dark outside. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get pictures before it was too dark because this is like, you know, kind of rural. So I got a couple pictures and then actually some off-duty fire department personnel from Darrington were on their way back from Arlington from something and they stopped because it looked like they said that my back window was shot out. You know, there was like nothing left in the back window, just glass and everything. And so they stopped and they came over and they just couldn't believe it. I mean, they were trying not to laugh because I was kind of shaken, but you just had to laugh. And they started taking pictures and calling friends, and the highway patrolman got there about 45 minutes after the accident. And he said he thought it was kind of a joke or a mistake when it came over the radio. He took pictures actually and called in, and his supervisor wanted to come see it. So the deer had passed away by then, had died, but there was no visible injury on the deer. So it's probably internal or shock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, but it was interesting because there was no damage to the hood or to the roof of the car and no damage to the trunk, which means it literally came straight down through the back windshield, which is kind of at an angle on a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Came back to the back windshield and landed literally perfectly on the back seat. Like it looked like it was just lounging.
Well, that's the part that I can't quite figure out, because if you're driving about 50 miles per hour, 55,
yeah.
you presumably there's a moment where you hit the brake so you don't hit the deer, but obviously at that point it's futile. If you're going that fast and the angle of the car hits the deer, presumably you're still going straight because you can't just stop at the moment.
Right.
The deer then goes up into the air and then behind you. I don't understand how it can go up in the air while you're still driving forward and then have it land in the backseat of your car because your car is so tiny.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Greg, I think you're lying. I think you're hiding something. I'm going to be totally honest.
If I didn't have... I sent mail to my employer mm-hmm. that night. And the title of my email was, "You can't make this up." And I included photos because I figured who was going to think that this was real, you know? And, the weird thing, the only thing I could think of is he said the highway patrolman said if I was braking, that the front of the car would have dipped down
mm-hmm.
and probably hit the deer. I mean, I'll show you a picture of the front of the car. It's just demolished. Probably hit the deer. And the deer probably went, like, not just straight up, but straight up and back a little, you know, like mm-hmm. back away from me a little bit. And then I stopped really soon thereafter, but I was slamming on the brakes or whatever. Yeah, and it just came down perfectly in the back seat.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Greg Winters, driving through Arlington, ends up hitting a deer. It goes through the air, lands in the back seat of his car. The car itself is totaled, right?
Yeah, it's a total loss. Yeah.
Did the deer have insurance?
It's funny because actually the highway patrolman came later with the exchange of information report. And I said, did you get the deer's, you know, driver's number? And and actually it was funny because I saw that he wrote, I don't know if he wrote it on the report or if he just wrote it on the sheet of paper, that the deer looked like it died resting comfortably or peacefully. Like, because it literally is just lounging in the back seat, you know. So they actually pulled the deer out, and then there was a little competition on the phone for people from Darrington and stuff to come out and harvest the deer. I guess I don't know how that works, but I think that's gross.
Well,
but,
I've got two working theories in what really happened, because I don't buy your story at all. I think it's a cover-up. And I acknowledge one of my theories is maybe a little out there, but you never know. One, you're a deer serial killer and you just got caught and this is bad luck. But number two, this is what I really think happened. You're driving, you're speeding maybe, you get into an accident and there just happened to be a deer nearby and you decide to blame it on the deer so that your insurance can cover the actual accident. You can be honest and tell us. Just come forward, tell us the truth.
Well, to be honest, I have full coverage. It would be covered anyway. No, I honestly, I can't be without a car right now. So
yeah.
I would not have wanted to make that story happen.
So how,
yeah,
how
that would not.
How did the insurance company react?
Well, actually, apparently it's not treated as like a regular collision accident. It's treated as a comprehensive, unavoidable thing or whatever. So they were fine. However, my insurance agent sent me a mail. Hold on, I have it. It actually said, I sent it. He's like, I can't believe this. I sent it to my kids and the news story that was on the TV. He's like, I can't believe it.
That is insane.
Yeah.
So how do you feel right now? Obviously, the poor deer ends up dying. In the backstory I gave on the show the other day was that you just orphaned like three adorable little deer.
Well, you know, I'm from the Midwest and grew up on a farm, so I don't have necessarily the, you know, animals or, you know, family members type thing. But I'm also not a hunter.
Yeah.
I do love animals, and I actually didn't feel too bad. I was more upset about my car and upset about, you know, and we see deer everywhere out here this time of year. But normally I see them on the side of the road and I can see them ahead of time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, when they pulled the deer out, one of the guys that was there from the fire department and the highway patrolman sort of concurred that the doe was nursing and, you know, a mom. You could tell by like the udder, you know, or whatever they call it on a deer. And then I started to feel, you know, like, oh man, there's some fun somewhere, you know, or I don't know.
Well, now I feel bad because I made that up about thinking that the doe had a bunch of babies. I made that up, but now it turns out to be true. Now I feel bad.
Yeah, they really said that.
Well, I'm sorry
you had
to.
A little bad.
I'm sorry you had to experience this. It's good that you're safe. Obviously, it's not good for the deer nor your car. But for you, it's safe. What do you do, Greg?
I work for I test computer software for Amazon.
Okay, and what were you doing in Darrington?
I actually have a cabin and some property in Marble Mount, and I was heading from Arlington up to that property.
Got it.
On Sunday night.
And this all just changed that trip, I assume.
Yes, it did, actually. I had to get it towed back to Everett and, you know,
Well,
late at night. I didn't.
We're certainly glad you're okay. That's the plus in all of this. I still suspect probably now a combination of you being a sociopath who's got a thing out for deers and a suspicious accident. I'm labeling this under suspicious incident in Darrington, but you have been cleared of any wrongdoing by the Darrington PD, correct?
Yes, I certainly have.
Good.
And I'll send you photos and video. To be honest, I would find it hard to believe myself if it didn't happen to me.
Well, once we get the video and images, we're going to post it online at ktth.com. If you want to check it out, just check out my blog. We'll have the story up there. Again, I've been talking with Greg Winters. He had an unbelievable experience between his car and a deer, and now we are one less deer and one less car congested in the state of Washington as a result of that Sunday night drive. Greg Winters, I appreciate you stopping by. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rantz filling in. You can normally hear me on AM 770 KTTH weekday mornings from 6 to 9, but right now I'm just filling in for Dory right here on Cairo Radio. Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rantz. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like me, I do hope you'll read my blog over at mynorthwest.com or tune into my show on AM 770 KTDH on weekday mornings from 6 to 9. I know Sean and Nicole are super excited about this. I've kind of not been following it at all. There's a wedding of some kind this weekend with a redhead and an actress. And the whole world is a Twitter. They're all excited.
It's a fairy tale.
No, it's
I get
not,
it.
Really isn't
I'm a
anymore.
Little bit.
No such thing as princes and princesses. It doesn't really exist. Not really in any meaningful way anymore.
Well, it does there.
Yeah, okay. Barely. It's all symbolic. I don't do anything.
Exactly.
What do you think the prince stewardship gets you? Nothing.
It's something good and.
Okay, fine. So, Harry.
Exciting.
He's the one who. He's not the one who used to be good looking and then got really bald. He's the one who was never good looking, but is kind of growing into a man, I guess, right? And then there's Meghan Markle, who's from something. Some show, that I've never heard of.
Suits?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. She the lead?
What?
Is she the lead actress in Suits?
I believe so. I didn't watch it either.
Because I'm assuming he's not going for the supporting actress. What are you doing? You got to go for the A-lister. So they're getting married. We're pretending to care when the only ones who are really caught up in this are caught up in this unrealistic expectation that they'll someday be married by a prince. It's not going to happen. My apologies, Nicole. Sean, it's not going to happen. My apologies.
I love princes, and I would marry one if there were one around.
Donna Werner. How did you describe her? She's like a super fan of this kind of stuff?
I believe she considers herself a royal super fan.
Here she is talking to Reuters. She's so excited.
My daughter lives over there, so I already shipped over my tent, my little pink princess tent, sleeping bag, camp chair, insulation for the ground, because I'm going to be sleeping on the streets for 3-4 nights.
$100, she's a hoarder. I'm just saying.
She's got a lot of stuff.
I'm just throwing out that she's going to appear on that hoarder show on Bravo. Isn't it just called Hoarders? Yeah.
In this country, we don't have, anything like that. The kings and the queens and, the castles and the jewelry.
And we want to get away from that.
Glamorous parties and, you go someplace and you ride in a coach. And it's just, it really is. It's like a dream come true. It's like a fairy tale.
So all she wants to do is ride in a coach? Go to Times Square. Or not, what's the stupid Central Park? Just go there. There's plenty of that.
I think they have them here.
What does her family think?
Well, they think I'm nuts. They think I'm crazy. It's like, Mom, it's like, get over it. They just sort of giggle and laugh. And it's like, oh, yeah, my mom, she's a, a royal super fan. It's a hobby. It's not an obsession.
No, it kind of is.
A little obsession.
Yeah, probably a little bit more.
They're talking over her. Nobody knows what she's saying.
No, everyone heard. You know what they heard? I'm crazy. I need help. I'm calling out for some sort of help. Some sort of intervention before I spend all my money going to London to see, just for a moment, them walk by. Or not even walk, they're on the carriage.
Hey, you're not hurting anybody. You're just finding ways to be happy.
She's contributing to the economy, I suppose.
I say go for it.
Oh, God bless them. I'll be tuning in. What time does it actually happen?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. So that's when I get up for work normally.
Right.
And I keep my schedule over the weekend. I know what I'm doing today, or later tomorrow. I'm Jason Rantz, filling in for Dory Monson.